Good morning, Cornerstone. How we doing today?
All right. So we're going to sing in just a minute, but there are rare occasions where I have to circle back on something I talked about previously, and there have been multiple conversations from last week's sermon that I have realized that some people may have taken what I said in a way that maybe they shouldn't have. So I want to kind of go back, and if you were here, if you're watching live stream, welcome. Some of you watched live stream, some of you were here. But last week we talked about, the death penalty and how that was instituted at the time of Noah, and that was a part of their government, something that was to protect the people. And the way I presented it, my intent was that as Christians, we may be for the death penalty, we may not be for the death penalty, and that's okay. But it was established at the time of Noah, and it was a part of the government. So we can debate and disagree about that today, and that's okay. And so in the home groups, there's conversations. You may be for it, you may be against it. That's all right, but we definitely need government or things go crazy. Right? Amen? Do we agree to that? The second thing was, and I didn't expect this, but we also talked about be fruitful and multiply. And I put a thing up on the board to show, like, population and how many children people are having in different countries across the world. And we're actually in population decline right now. And just kind of looking at how God said be fruitful and multiply. And I use the term, the number 2.1, like if you have 2.1 kids or more on average, then you'll keep the population at a steady. And some people took that to mean, like, we have to have at least two. If you don't have more than two kids, like, shame on you. That was definitely not what I intended, right? The point is, in our culture, we see children sometimes as a burden, but children are a blessing. And some people wish they could have children and can't. And that's hard and frustrating and painful. And other people really want to have kids. And so we just want to see kids as a blessing, right? Whether you have one or two or three or 10, you know, there's some families have more than others, and that's okay, right? So hopefully, if you were feeling shamed by that, oh, I only have 2.3 kids, or, you know, 1.7 kids, like, it's okay, all right? It's okay. But today, we actually do get to celebrate the birth of a new baby, and there's a slide for that. Lainey Ann Kurz was born yesterday. Everything's good. They're at the hospital still, but Gavin and Ashley had their baby yesterday. So we have two brand new babies within a month. So that's part of why some people aren't here today, because they have to take care of those little tiny babies. But I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad some people are watching online. Welcome, everybody. We are going to begin. Like, I wanted to talk about those things because it's important that we preserve unity in the body. Like, we can disagree with things about things, and that's okay. There's certain things we have to agree on, but they're few. So I just wanted to say that to try to, part of my job is to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God has brought us together as one. And so I don't want to say things that, like, come off, like, half thought through or that could be misconstrued. And so part of my job is to be clear about how I communicate. Part of your job is, when it's not clear, to make sure we're keeping unity and talking through things. And iron sharpening iron is what the Bible says. So anyway, that's enough on that. Welcome, baby Kurz. And welcome our new worship team member, right? Travis is new for the first time, right? It's been fun singing with this guy. Hopefully you enjoy singing with all of us. And we're going to start with the Lord's Prayer. So I want you to rise to your feet, and let's say the Lord's Prayer together. It's up on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Here we go.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
Sing to him.
Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great are you.
Whole earth is going to give praise to the King. We get to join him.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, great are you, Lord.
All the earth will shout your praise. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. The earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. Our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Praise your name because you are great. You have given us breath. Just yesterday, you gave Lainey breath for the very first time. And God, many of us have been breathing for decades. We take it for granted, but it's every breath comes from you. So God, we want to give that breath back to you in praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we learned this one last week, so hopefully you know it really, really well now. But this is just about who we are. Who we are because of him. He has changed our core identity. He's given us beauty. So let's celebrate that.
I know who I am. know who you are. The cross of salvation was only a start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
I know who I am.
I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Tending a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Tending a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I was made for more.
Amen. God, we wanna just bathe in the truths of what you have said about us, what you've said for us, the blessings, the benefits of all you've done because of your deep, deep love for us. God, may we understand your blessings, understand your truth, understand your promises better today than we did yesterday. God, use this time. Use this time to take us deeper into your presence and deeper into the understanding and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for singing with us. These are good songs to lift up and encourage our own hearts. Anyway, we have a question today. And this question is a little different, but I think you probably have an answer for it. If there were no risks, would you rather visit the deep ocean or deep space? Share that with somebody near you. Kids third grade and under can head downstairs for their children's church. Welcome. Before we get started, I know you guys are really smart and can do two things at one time. So because we've had a bunch of new people at Cornerstone recently, I printed out two new copies of the directory with blanks in the back. So if you are not in the church directory, we would love for you to fill out your information if you want to be in it included. So people, when they want to reach out to you, are like, oh, wait, what's their number again? What's their email? It's right there. So in the front row, so whoever's closest to the front, there's a directory on each side, so I want you to grab that, and then if you want to be included or some of you need to update your information or things like that, for the next few weeks, we'll just send that around until a few weeks go by, and then we'll update it. So Travis, if you can grab that front one right there, and then if you want to fill it out, if you don't, just pass it to the next person until it goes all the way to the back, and by the time I'm done preaching, it'll surely be in the back of the room, no doubt. I have a very, very important announcement that some of you already know about. Somebody's birthday today, what I understand. I think it's somebody's birthday. Is that true? Sharon Melker's birthday is today. So she's like, how did he know that? I'm a pastor, so that's just how it goes. Anyway, we'll move on from that. But we're going to talk about this thing called covenants today. So when I say the word covenant, what comes to your mind? What do you think of?
Promise?
Binding. Say it again.
Binding.
Yes. Anything else?
Marriage.
All right.
College.
There's probably a band called Covenant or something. Like, there's different things that might come to your mind. I think of marriage. When I think covenant, I think of marriage. You might think of one of the covenants God made with his people throughout history. But a covenant is, it's like a promise, only it's written in all caps, bolded, underlined, and signed in blood. That's a covenant. It's a promise times 100. Like pinky promise, swear, like all these different things that you might do. So covenant. I made a pretty big commitment to my kids a few years ago that Ann and I would do our best to cover their college expenses 50%. That was a commitment that we made. Major commitment, but not a covenant. Not a covenant. We've been able to do it with our first two kids so far. Praise God, he's provided. I'm really hoping we can do the same with Ethan and Karis. They're kind of nervous that we won't. But God has been provided, but that is not a covenant. The commitment that Ann and I made in 1999, that was a covenant. And that's different. That's not an I hope so. It is total commitment. Through thick and thin. Doesn't really matter if we feel like giving up at some point along the way. No matter how hard it may be, we are doing this. Bolded, underlined, signed in blood. Like it is a covenant. And that's the only way our marriage has survived 25 years. Because if you give yourself an out, at some point along the way, you're going to hit the breaking point. But if there is no breaking point,
And you're both committed to each other and to God. By God's grace, you can make it through some of those parts that feel like hell and get to paradise on the other side. But that's just the way marriage is. It's hard. And so there needs to be a covenant. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know some people do. If you're married, you probably do. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure that Ann and I right now, after 25 years, we made it through the worst part, the hardest part. I think we made it through the hardest part. Some of you are like, yeah, I think we made it through the hardest part too, right? Some of us, we made it through the hard stuff. Doesn't mean there isn't any more hard stuff coming. And I don't think we've probably necessarily been through the hardest part of life, but I think 25 years in, we made it through the worst of the fire. And our marriage right now is becoming more and more enjoyable, and the hardest parts are getting further behind us, and they're getting less hard. That's our experience. And it grieves me how many couples don't see marriage as a covenant before God, because then it gets hard and they bail when if they had persevered. So many times they would have tasted paradise. Marriage is a covenant. But we're not talking about marriage today. Because this covenant idea didn't start with marriage. We're just getting it from God. This covenant idea started with God. His commitment. So whether you're married or single, it doesn't really matter, because this is really, really cool. God has made several covenants with us. Covenants signed in blood. And people break promises. God does not. The author of truth, the faithful God, the all-powerful one, has made some covenants to us that we can absolutely count on. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And if you got a program, open it up, and there's a whole bunch of blanks today. So this is kind of going to be a little bit of a survey through the covenants of God. And I hope it encourages you. I hope it lifts you up and encourages your spirit. The reason we're talking about it is because the very first of these covenants shows up right after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, we see the first covenant God makes with people. So I want to show you that. I want you to see it and kind of absorb what is going on here. What is God promising? What is he committing to? Genesis 9, verse 8. If you have a Bible, follow along. If you're using the Bible app, we've got notes in there too, I believe. All right, so here we go. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. When the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. You notice how many times he said the word covenant? He's pretty serious about this. If you're talking to somebody, say, I promise, 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 I promise. Like, okay, you're like, you really, really mean this, right? This is what's going on. First major covenant with mankind. And what we're going to find in these covenants, there's a pattern. And that's what you see in your notes. There's a pattern. When God makes a covenant, there's first a benefit promise. Here's something I'm offering to you. This is what I want to give you. And then there's a you. Who's it for? Who's the you? Who does it apply to? And then oftentimes, most of the time, there's a sign. There's a tangible, physical, almost, I think usually it's a physical thing, a physical sign to say this is a reminder, this is a mark of the covenant. And then the last thing is covenants can be either conditional or unconditional. Either something we got to do to earn it, to keep it, or it's just happening. And so I think I have Yes, yeah. So I want to go through this. And this is the first covenant. So let's look at these four questions. What's the benefit offered in this covenant that God just gave in Genesis 9? What's he offering? Anybody? He said that never again am I going to destroy all life with a flood. Never again. I'm not going to destroy you all because of your wickedness like that ever again. This is a covenant of peace, right? I'm offering peace to you. And in the previous chapter, he said, even though I know you're evil and you're going to go into the same garbage that you were in before, I'm not going to do this ever again. Covenant of peace. Who's the covenant with? Earthlings? Yeah, I didn't actually put that on the screen. Earthlings, we could have done that, right? It's with Noah and his descendants. So that includes, who are the descendants of Noah? All of us, right? And who else is it for? All the animals. This is a broad promise, right? And what's the sign of the covenant? It's a rainbow, right? And up here, I'm calling it a bow, because the actual Hebrew word for rainbow, there's no actual Hebrew word for rainbow. Like, we've made that up. It's a context thing, but the word is bow, like bow and arrow. Like, if you look at that word as it shows up in the Old Testament, it's almost every single time a bow. So some people have taken it as, okay, this is actually, it is a rainbow, absolutely. It's not a physical bow and arrow, but if you look at the rainbow from human perspective, it arches like this. And I know you science people, it's a circle. I know. But from our perspective, it looks like this. If you string that bow, where's the arrow going to go? It's going to go up, right? It's not going to go down. So some would say, this is saying God has hung his bow in the clouds. He's not going to shoot at us like that again. I don't know if that's actually what he meant. It's a kind of cool thought. But he hung it up. He's at peace. He's offering us peace. And we have this beautiful sign. So when the rain comes and people start to freak out again, oh no, it's happening again. Because it didn't rain before the flood, remember? No, I'm not going to do it again. Sun came out. Here's the rainbow. Remember my promise. So is this covenant conditional or unconditional? Huh? Unconditional. There is no requirement. He doesn't give us any stipulations, nothing to do. This is, in verse 16, you see, he calls it an everlasting covenant. Nothing's going to break this. You can't break this. Even though there's going to be a whole lot of evil to come, I'm never going to do this again. Unconditional. First major covenant God makes with man. The sign is the rainbow. So the rainbow, guys, when you see the rainbow, I was out skiing and we got to see like two pieces of a rainbow. The sun was coming through the clouds. I don't even know how it showed up. These two little strips, and that's all we saw. Didn't see the bow, but pieces of it. When you see a rainbow, it's more than a scientific phenomenon. Guys, when God designed the laws of nature, when he said, let there be light, he designed that to happen. It's not going to rain for 1,500 years, but when it does, watch what happens. He set that up so we could see God is going to be faithful. It's not a coincidence. Look at how cool that is, that it just sort of happened. Evolution. No, God is behind it. He designed that to be. So God's covenant with Noah and the animals and every generation to come is a covenant of peace. This is a picture of a rainbow that I actually saw on Laurel Street. That rainbow is surrounding the mayor's house, the mayor of Kutztown. So I sent that to him, like, you gotta see this. It was so brilliant. I mean, you can't see it like I saw it. That's how pictures are. But anyway, God has been faithful to his covenant. I want us to think about God's faithfulness, because he keeps his promises, guys. God keeps his promises. And one of the issues that we have to overcome in our relationship with God sometimes is projecting our human relationships onto our divine relationship, and broken promises that people have made for us. We kind of then think, okay, maybe God is going to do that. Because we've all experienced the pain and bewilderment of broken covenants. right? And sometimes it's really close to home, sometimes it's a little more distant. And I suspect all of us have experienced the pain of divorce, right? We talked about the marriage covenant. If I asked you to raise your hand if you've never had any effect of divorce in your life, I don't think any hand would go up. Divorce hasn't hit as close to home for me as it has to some of you, but when I was 12 years old, I learned my grandfather had been unfaithful to my grandmother, and he was leaving her for another woman. Guys, grandparents aren't supposed to do that. They're supposed to be stable. They're supposed to be people you can count on. So that kind of threw me for a little bit. Some of you guys have felt a broken covenant in a much deeper, much closer place in your life. And that causes damage. When people break covenant with us, we trusted them. That hurts. That causes trauma. And it can be easy to subconsciously lose confidence in God when those kind of things happen to us. And I mean, he didn't stop it from happening. So can I really trust God? Can I trust God? And I'm here to tell you, you can. He keeps his covenants. God doesn't always keep the promises we think he might have made, we think we want him to make. He keeps the promises that he made, the things that he actually said. We have to latch on to that and know the difference between what I want God to be and what he actually is, what I want God to say to me and what he actually says. There is a difference, but God keeps his covenants. God doesn't follow our example. He sets the pattern. He keeps his promises. People often break their promises. God does not. So there are actually four other major covenants God makes with people throughout history. You know what they are? Here's a hint. They're all connected to a major character of the Bible. So when you think of what are some of God's covenants, whose names come to your mind? Abraham. That's the first. That's the one that comes next. Can we do this in order? I don't know about that. Who's another one? Another major character brings a covenant. Moses. We are in order. Now, the next one is maybe a little trickier. You guys, all right. And the last one, the biggest one, there we go, there we go. So you're going to fill in those blanks. What are these covenants? What are these? What is God offering us with each of these promises, each of these deep, significant covenants that God means when he says what he says and he means what he means? It starts with Abraham, so I want to look at that one. What is God's covenant with Abraham? Just flip a few more pages to Genesis 17. God's covenant with Abraham, I'll give you the spoiler. Some of you know this already, but the benefit that he's offering right here is blessing. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. So this is a covenant of blessing, and it's given when God chose Abraham to be the father of God's special people, Israel. Right? Genesis 17, listen to this covenant. Listen to this promise that God is making to Abram and by extension, some others. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be a father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. I'll make you very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you're now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And we'll stop right there. So eventually we'll go deeper into this because we're going to go through Genesis together, and it's going to be a journey. For now, I just want to answer those four questions, right? The covenant. Who's the covenant with? I already clicked it. Sorry. This is with Abraham and his descendants, right? This is with the people of Israel. What's the sign of this covenant? Circumcision. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, why did he do that? This is a very personal mark of ownership. I am yours and you are mine. Why did he do it for the guys and not the lady? Like, this is just how he did it. You are my people. And here's a physical mark. Very personal. Very personal. Okay, move on. Is this conditional or unconditional? Conditional. Unconditional. We got one conditional and one unconditional. It's a little confusing, right? Because he said, this is my everlasting covenant. In one sense, it is unconditional. I'm doing this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless my people. But there's an aspect where we have to opt in, right? And families could say, we're not going to circumcise our kids. No, no mark for you. We're not going to follow. We're going to worship these other gods. You can opt out if you want to. God is unconditionally, he's going to bless his people, and all people of the earth will be blessed through him. That's what he said in chapter 12 when he first talked about this covenant. But we have to choose to be part of it. And eventually we'll see this is not only for the people of Israel. This will spread to us. As he said from the very beginning, all people on earth will be blessed through you. So it's kind of both. But the big picture of it, this is unconditional. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Right? Has God kept this covenant, the covenant to Abraham? Has he kept it? One person nodding yes. Two people nodding yes. Three. Okay, we got sold for three. Three people nod yes. No, he has kept this covenant. The most significant part of this is when he sent Jesus. And that's how all people on earth will be blessed. He made Abraham a nation. He gave him a land. He made kings come out of him. But the biggest thing of all, the King of Kings came out of him. And all who put their faith and trust in him get to be part of the covenant. So Noah brings the covenant of peace. God brings the covenant of peace to Noah. With Abraham, God says, I'm going to bless you. So far, so good. These are pretty good covenants, right? Good with that? Next major covenant is with who? Moses, right? It kind of feels like school a little bit, but hopefully it's gonna get into here and encourage your heart. But it's important to know these details. What is the covenant with Moses? Freedom. Freedom from slavery, right? And he gives them freedom from slavery, and then he gives them something. He gives them the law. Well, some people feel like bondage, but it's actually, what did it say? The Ten Commandments, right? Yeah. So freedom from slavery, and then he gives them the law. You follow these things, and I will bless you. So I'm calling this one blessing by obedience. He's going to bless them again, but it's through obedience, right? God's going to give Israel a whole bunch of his wisdom in the form of laws or commandments. And I'm going to give you some scriptures to look at. If you want to flip here, you can, or I'll just read them for you. But this is Exodus. This is after God had delivered the people from slavery, right? So they are experiencing freedom, and then he speaks to them. And I'm going to read the scriptures that you see up on the screen, starting in Exodus 19:3. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. So from there, skip all the way over to chapter 34. He's going to talk more about the covenant. Chapter 34, verse 10. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. And then the same chapter, verse 27. Finish this up here. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. In accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So this is a covenant of blessing by obedience. Follow God's commands, it will lead to blessing. So who is this covenant with? The Israelites, right? God's people, Israel, right? And is there a sign for this covenant? He doesn't specifically say, and this is the sign of the covenant. But what has Moses come down the mountain with in his hand? The Ten Commandments, right? So I would suggest perhaps that is the sign of the covenant. This is a covenant. I'm giving you the law. Follow this, and I will bless you. So I'm going to suggest that the sign of this covenant is the Ten Commandments. You could argue otherwise, but I believe that's probably the case. So last part, is this conditional or unconditional? Absolutely conditional, right? This is 100%. This is a conditional covenant. You've got to do this in order to get this. Follow me and you'll be blessed. And did God keep this covenant? Read the history of Israel. When they followed him, they were blessed. And what happened when they walked away from him? He withdrew his blessing, right? That's how it worked. You can read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. You can read the history and see how that played out. Excuse me. So is this covenant for us? Covenant to Moses, is that for us? I got one person over here, two people saying no, it's not. This covenant is not for us, guys. It's not. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who identify as Christian who still operate under this covenant with God. That's how they think God works. But this is not our covenant. It's not. Why am I saying that with such confidence? This covenant has been formally and officially replaced by a better one. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But we got to cover this, the next covenant first. What's the next covenant in line? Starts with a D, ends with an Avid, right? There you go. There you go. I knew you could do it. This is God's covenant with David, where God is going to promise to David, your throne will be established forever. Your kingdom, the line of David, will never end. And that's crazy to think about, a forever kingdom. What is he talking about? He's talking about God's Messiah is going to come through David. The forever king. So this covenant, I'm going to call it, this is the benefit, future hope. Future hope. David, there's going to be a king who will reign on your throne forever. So the covenant is with, it's again with the people of Israel, right? Initially with David and the people of Israel. Is this covenant conditional or unconditional? I will establish my throne. There will be someone on your throne forever. Does David have to do something to get that? This is unconditional. And this one, I don't know of a sign for this one. Maybe you thought about it. You know, actually there is. Maybe there is, but I don't know of one. Is Jesus the sign of the covenant? Could be. Somebody change that slide. No, we can't. Shanna's not here. If Shanna was here, boom, it would already be there. But guys, this is an unconditional covenant. Nobody's going to stop this. The forever king is coming. Maybe the sign is the scars on the hands and the scars on the feet. I don't know. There's nothing that says, and this is the sign of the covenant. But this is a big one. And I'll just read for you. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, where God is initially giving this covenant. 2 Samuel 7:16. He says this, he says to David, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. You can read the rest of it in that chapter if you want. But guys, it's unconditional. David and his family are going to fall off the rails. They're going to get off track big time, but nothing is going to stop God from keeping this covenant. Nothing. It's happening. All right. So that's the covenant with David. And as Tim mentioned, maybe Jesus is the sign of the covenant because Jesus, he's the fulfillment of the covenant, and he brings us the final covenant, the new covenant. So what are these covenants? First, with Noah, we got a covenant of peace with God. With Abraham, we've got a covenant of blessings from God. David, we've got a covenant, or Moses, we got a covenant of blessings through obedience. David brings a covenant of future hope. This is good stuff, guys. This is good stuff. It's not like money in the bank. It's better than that. And then we've got covenant number 5, the new covenant through Jesus. This is a covenant of restored union with God. Restored union with God. Is this a big deal? I feel like I first heard about this idea of union with God maybe 5-6 years ago. I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. It means a lot more to me now. And the more you pursue God, the more this can mean to you. Sometimes, like, yeah, okay, restored union, I got it. So I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I got it. But maybe if I could get free Chick-fil-A for a year, that would be pretty cool. Right? We're talking about restored union with God. And I hope you open your heart to think about that and ponder that and let that sink in for a few years. Keep seeking God, and this will sink in deeper and deeper. But this covenant takes us all the way back to the beginning. Remember, union with God is what was broken in Genesis 3. That's what was messed up in the beginning. And as good as all those other covenants are, peace, blessings, hope, all that stuff, only Jesus can actually restore union with God. And think about Jesus' ministry. When does he talk about this covenant? He waits till the very end of his ministry. He's having a Passover meal with his disciples hours before the cross. He says, guys, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting to tell you about this. There's a new covenant, and you need to know about it. He's having this Last Supper with his disciples, and he unveils the new covenant, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I'll read this passage. Verse 14. Jumping into the middle of the story. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And in the middle of this, he's unveiling this new covenant. He's been waiting his entire ministry, and at the same time, there's going to be betrayal. This is the new covenant in my blood, but the hand of him who's going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, when I was reading that, did you notice the subject that is dominating Jesus' mind here at the Last Supper? He keeps talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. right? If you look at verse 28 in the same passage, he says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what the new covenant's about. It's about being brought into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is real. The disciples are like, yeah, we think it's this, we think it's that, but it's something different. But Jesus is offering the kingdom of God to his followers. When he takes the cup, he's having this Passover, and the cup he shares, there's like four cups during the Passover. This is called the cup of redemption to the Israelite people. It's the cup of redemption. They think from Egypt. But he says, this is the cup of the covenant of my blood. And the cup of communion is the sign of the covenant. In Matthew's account, Jesus says it this way. He says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So guys, what's the benefit of the new covenant? Forgiveness of sins. Restored union with God. A role and belonging in the kingdom of God. Guys, this is crazy. This is the new covenant he brings us. Restored union with God only through the shed blood of Jesus. Guys, the covenant of Moses, that was maintained through blood sacrifices, animal sacrifices, over and over and over, because they kept breaking the covenant. You got to sacrifice another animal, another sheep, another goat, another cow, another bird. You got to keep on killing animals, buying temporary forgiveness for all the ways they failed. They couldn't keep it. God said, I'm going to give you a better covenant because you can't keep it. And so now, Jesus says, the blood of the Lamb is going to be the last sacrifice, the last one needed. So who's this covenant with? Who's it for? Israel? Anybody. Anybody. Anybody who wants it, right? This is for anybody who wants it. Anybody who will put their trust in the Lamb of God as the sacrifice for their sins. It's not actually for everyone, because some people are going to say, no thanks. Again, like the other covenant, you can opt out. You can choose to pay the debt for your own sins. Like, I'll take care of it myself. And there are people who do that. I had a neighbor who was that. He knew he was going to die soon. He said, when I stand before God, I'm taking him to count. And I'm gonna have he believes he was gonna have a lawsuit before God. He's gonna take God to court. I try to tell him, it's not gonna work that way. It sounds funny, but there's a lot of people that think that way. I'm righteous enough. He better take me in. You choose to pay your own bill, you're gonna suffer forever in hell. That's how it works. But those who claim to a part in Jesus' sacrifice, you take the cup. Yes, I believe. I believe his blood paid for me. Then you get forgiveness and welcome into the kingdom. Not because of stuff you did, because of what he did. You get to be part of his family, part of his kingdom forever. But not everybody gets it, because not everybody wants it. Not everybody accepts it. But the sign of the new covenant is the cup of communion. So is this covenant conditional or unconditional? It's another tricky one, right? Yeah, not everybody gets it. Unconditional. Both maybe? Maybe both? Because you can opt out. You've got to opt in by putting your faith in Jesus. But it's unconditional, and then once you're in, you're in. And your actions won't disqualify. You can't disqualify. Why? Because you've been sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's power. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. So once you're in. In that sense, ultimately, it is unconditional. And will God keep this covenant with us? What is his track record? He keeps his promises. This is a covenant. Look at his track record. I love the way Hebrews talks about, Hebrews kind of looks at covenant of Moses, covenant with Jesus. And in Hebrews 7:22, he said, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. This is a better covenant. The Bible says it's better. It's not just like, I think it's better. I like it better. What about you? No, Hebrews says this is a better covenant. And if you want, you can write this passage down, Hebrews 8, 6 to 13. I was going to read it, but we're running out of time. So you can dig into that. Maybe we will in home group. But this passage claims this is a covenant. It is with the people of Israel. They're included. But we also know Jesus opened it up to anybody who believes, anybody who puts their faith in him. Romans 10, 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this new covenant of forgiveness, of grace, and ultimately union with God. This is the only way we can be restored to the way we were meant to be, in that intimate union connection with God. So when you look at all these covenants that we looked at today through the ages, there's some pretty awesome promises from God. These are not just promises from some distant uncle. Someday I'll, maybe, hopefully. These are promises from God. You know what this shows us about God? It shows us he loves to bless his people. He loves to just pour out blessings. He keeps bringing these covenants, these promises, peace, blessing, hope, union with himself. God is always moving toward us. That's what he wants. So you tell me this. If you had to pick one of the five major covenants to live under, which would you choose? The covenant of peace, where he promises, I'm never going to destroy you. I mean, that's great, but I'd like more with God, right? Blessing through obedience. Man, I can't measure up. Bible says the fifth one is the best one, so I hope that's your choice. Because that's the one he offers us today. The new covenant's the best by far. Jesus thinks so. That's my pick. So, guys, I'm really glad we live under the new covenant. Are you glad for that? I am so thankful. It is undoubtedly the best covenant. And God gives us communion as a sign of the covenant. So I bring all of us to this point where, do you look at communion like that? This is God's promise to me. This is God's covenant signed in blood. And he keeps his promises. Is that how you look at it? This is a reminder of God's signed in blood promise to us, that he would restore us to union with himself. This is what we're made for. This is what completes us. God's covenants, guys, they're good. But I have to say, God is not the only one putting out covenants. There's another covenant offerer out there, another covenant maker that a lot of people choose to follow instead of God. Genesis chapter 3, this covenant maker offered Adam and Eve wisdom that would make them just like God. All they had to do was turn away from God and believe this other offer was better. Adam and Eve went into agreement with that covenant breaker. And we all felt the pain of that choice. Matthew chapter 4, this other covenant maker made an offer to Jesus in the desert. Bow down to me, he said, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. In other words, skip the hard part, Jesus. I'll give you the kingdom without the suffering. Who made that offer to Jesus? Satan, right? The liar. The offer from this other covenant maker is always the same. He's going to dangle something in front of you and say, look at this. Don't you want it? You need it. You need to have it. This will complete you. All you got to do is turn away from him. Believe this will make you happy. Take it. It's yours. But this covenant maker is a liar. He's a covenant breaker. The father of lies is his name. His promises are empty, but we believe him. We believe him. It's shiny. It's nice. We want it. In our greed, we reach for the material thing that we think we must have. In our pride, we reach for that opportunity that'll bring us more glory. In our lust, we reach for that pleasure that we know is going to satisfy this time. But it's all a mirage. False hope. And it's a very effective strategy. Think about it. If the father of lies can convince us to turn from God, to reach for anything else, he's won. Because the truth is, by our design, there's one thing that'll truly satisfy. One thing that'll truly complete us, that is God himself. The truth is that God himself is the prize. He's the ultimate treasure. He's the greatest glory. He's the supreme pleasure. It's God himself. So this great battle of Middle Earth, we are the prize to God, and he is the prize to us. So if we can keep our eyes on the prize, the liar will have no grip. So reflect on your own life. Have you perhaps unknowingly made a deal with the devil, the father of lies? Made an agreement. I believe this. I'm going to take your offer and believe it's going to satisfy me. Or are you living under God's covenant? I believe you. You're the treasure. I'm trusting the faithful God who keeps his promise every time. Where are you at? We are the people of the new covenant. Amen. We are the people of the new covenant. So if you're with me, still after all that time, I know some of you are like, too much, too much. Guys, if you're with me, let's reaffirm our commitment and our choice by receiving the sign of the covenant together. Can we do that? We join the covenant by trusting in Jesus. This doesn't get us born again. We're born again by faith in Jesus. And then we become participants in the covenant. We receive the cup. This is like renewing our marriage vows. This reminds us of what's already true. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said again and again. So on my ring finger over here, I've got a sign of my covenant with Anne, right? And this is a significant sign. I tried to take it off. I couldn't even get it off this morning. It's on. It's on for good. It's made of gold. It means something. This means a lot. We're in covenant with each other. By God's grace, we've made it through fire a few times. This cup is the sign of my covenant with Jesus. He is committed to me and you. He shed his blood. And I'm committed to him. I'm committed to him. I commit to him my life. And when we do this together, we say as one body, I believe. By the blood of Jesus, I've received grace, forgiveness. And now I live in union with God. Somebody's like, I don't deserve to live in union with God. Well, guess what? That's what this is for. That's what the blood is for. So I'm going to sing a song of reflection that I thought would be helpful to just kind of reflect on the cross and what Jesus did for us. And as I'm singing that song, I just want you to think about Jesus' commitment to you and yours to him. And if you're ready to express your commitment, your trust in Jesus, maybe even for the first time ever, then please come up to the front and take the cup. And take the bread. Bring it back to your seat. We'll do it together. And the crackers are in packages. So if you're a family, you can take one pack and you can break the bread together. If you're not there yet, I'm not sure about my commitment to Jesus, like, let it go. Let it go. This isn't for you. If you want to follow Jesus, you know that, then do it. If not, no worries at all. Just pass it by. But if you want to do this, think about his commitment to you, and then come to the front, and we'll do this together. Matt, would you come up front, please? Matt is going to be there and share this with you as we celebrate together.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Give thanks.
Center us, Lord, and our lives on who you are, not what we are or what we're doing. We thank you for everything that you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Jesus, having that meal, we've talked about this many times, but he really looked forward to this because it meant a lot. He was changing Passover, changing what it meant, adding a deeper level to it that they did not know. So he passed the bread as was customary, But this time he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take it together. They didn't get it, just like we often don't get it. It takes us a while to really understand the depths of what Jesus was doing. They're arguing about who's the best and who's the greatest, who's going to sit at his right and his left. And Jesus is about to die. So he passes the cup of redemption. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's do this in remembrance of him. God, we are so thankful that you gave us this sign of the covenant to remember again and to just go deeper into this union with God that you have offered to us. We are one with you. We're forgiven. Jesus wiped the slate clean. Not only did he take away our sin, but he added his righteousness. And we are children of God, loved forever. Lord, you did something very, very difficult. The extreme sacrifice. The battle against the devil, the battle against sin, and you won. And the blessings are ours because of it. God, we want to sing about that. You have blessed us so much. God, I pray that every person here will truly understand what you've done for them and for us and receive this covenant as their own. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end with a song that I believe Matt introduced us to it. A few weeks ago, it's called The Battle and the Blessing. So maybe you'll remember it. It's been a little while. But join us. Rise to your feet. Even back then, after the supper, they sang a song. And so it's kind of tradition that that's what they did. That's what we do. We always sing a song at the end. So join us. Join us if you can. Slides, please.
We did not bear the wounds that freed us, or walk the road to Calvary. We did not share your cup of suffering, and yet we share your victory. We did not wear that heavy burden, nor face the shame and agony. The crown of thorns was placed upon you. Now we our crown with love and peace. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle. And the blessing is mine. You chose to be a man of sorrows, that I could be a child of God. Stood and faced this world's rejection. I stand accepted. accepted by your love. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. The battle was yours, and the blessing is mine.
Praise his name.
Sin was buried with the Savior. Now there is hope beyond the tomb. For you were raised again in glory, and I am raised to life in you. Forevermore to live with.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant. God, we receive it. We receive the blessings that you freely offer to us. We trust. We trust you, the covenant keeper. You don't break your promises. Everything you say will happen or has happened. We can trust you. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. All right, you can have a seat just for a minute.
Thank you, Matt, for bringing that song to us. Thankful for it. So a couple of announcements. Shanna's not here today, so I will remind you of some things that are coming. Some things are new. Some things you may not have heard about yet. Intro to Cornerstone class, that's for anybody who's new around here who wants to learn more about Cornerstone. You don't have to say, I want to become a member. Like, we don't push membership. It's just, I want to find out more if I really belong here, if this is a good place for me. If you want to find out more, it's like 4 or 5 weeks. Okay, all the slides just went boom, boom, boom. Okay, back. Where were we? Okay, so that's the class. It's coming up. We haven't nailed down a time. It's probably going to be weeknights in April, but it could be another time depending on if you're like, I'm not available then. We'll work it out to make it work for people who want to be there. So please let me know. We're going to get that going pretty soon, probably starting in April, early April. Okay, so just let me know if you want to be part of that. Secondly, men's breakfast. How many of you guys heard about the breakfast already? Going to have some bacon and scrapple and some other things. So men's breakfast, there's a group chat going on that if you're not in that yet, you want to be, let us know. But men's breakfast open to any guys in the church, or if you got somebody you're like, yeah, I think they'd want to come too, that's fine. We just need to know who they are because we're making food, right? And so men eat food. We need to have enough food, so let us know who's coming. March 29th, 9 o'clock at Matt's house. Raise your hand, Matt. It's at his house. So follow him home and you'll know right where he is. I think there's actually an address in the program. That is Matt and Sarah, and I think Sarah's going to be involved in this some too, because it's their home that they're kind of opening. And so join us for that if you'd like to. We're going to be talking about what's coming up this summer, some summer plans for some men coming together. So that's coming up. Next thing I want to tell you, we haven't talked about this yet, and if you're new to Cornerstone, you're not familiar with this, but some years we have a first fruits offering. Sometimes we don't do it at all, but this year we're doing a first fruits offering. First fruits is like the first of the produce, like back in the day, the best corn, the top off the top people would give. And so this spring, we're going to do a first fruits offering. And that's not just to put more money in the coffers, to like have more money in the bank. This offering, the entire thing, is going towards summer camp. We give kids $200 off of their summer camp, and sometimes more if they can't pay for it. But they get to go to camp for a week. It's like $480 for the week. It's crazy. It's a lot of money. But they get to hear about Jesus all week long. They get to have a lot of fun. We take them all the way to New York. It's like 5 hours away. And if you want to be part of that, helping these kids from Oasis and Cornerstone get there, you can give to this offering, and all of it will help kids go to camp. So that's coming up April 13th. That's Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. So if you got change in your pocket, you put it in a jar, start collecting up. If you got extra money in the bank, you get a tax refund, any of those things, like give it all to Jesus, right? Or whatever you decide you want to give. Just don't say you're giving it all and not give it all, right? That's not okay. Give whatever you want. And if you don't want, that's okay too. We don't pass the plate very much. This is like a once a year, even if that kind of thing. So if you want to do that, April 13th, you can get yourself ready. Transfer money out of your 401k and you can put it all in. No, I'm just kidding. But you want to think about that. I think that's the last announcement. Shannon's going to be like, I wish I should have been there. I should have been talking about that, not him, because he just keeps on going. I'm going to stop now. There's food downstairs. Thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for joining us live stream. If you want some food, it's downstairs. If you want to hang out, we have another 15 minutes or so, and the next church is coming in. So if you want to hang out downstairs, stay as long as you want. Have a great day.